Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 23rd of July, recording at 8:46 p.m. British Standard Time. Now, first, just very quickly, today's transactions, because I did say in the comment of the day that I would mention them at the beginning of the audio. So, I found that yesterday evening I was stopped out of my Newmont mining position at 39.52, that's versus my purchase at 36.88 on the 14th of June. All these price levels reflect and include, in other words, spread bet costs, so there are no additional commissions on top of that. And metals were getting a bit of a shakeout here today on the basis of the dollars further rally, so I closed out my Merrill Lynch World Mining Trust. I sold that at 189.80, and that was versus the purchase at 177 on the 18th of June. Then the third profit of the day, I sold my lead position, and I sold that at 909 because of the backwardation, and that was versus my purchase at 738. So $909 profit level versus the purchase at $738 on the 4th of May. Then my purchase, I bought another Baby Steps unit of silver at 6:33 for the December contract. Okay, now the Friday audio is the big picture, long-term view for the various asset classes. So here goes. Every shred of historic evidence says that Wall Street is in a secular bear market. If you've been listening to the Friday audios, you've heard me say that on many, many occasions. And it's backed, again, by the technical evidence. Now, I keep hearing all sorts of rationalizations as to why the market is going to break upwards. Rationalizations, that's not being fair. I'll call them hypotheses as to why Wall Street and other stock markets are going to break upwards and close strongly on the year end. And these will range from GDP forecasts to people who will cite the election cycle strength that we have often seen in previous years. And then this one I couldn't resist posting here today, where there was a comparison with 1994 when we last had an 8% trading range in the S&P, which people have been talking about carrying on for some months. It's been 7 months now. And that was comparing it with 1994. And of course, the market exploded on the upside in 1995, entering its 5.25 year bubble run for the secular bull market. Well, the difference this time, obviously, is that we're in a secular bear market. And the other main difference, there are lots of differences, the other main one that I cited was back then the price of oil averaged $17.50 or thereabouts a barrel for all of 1994, whereas it closed tonight at $41.71. And that makes a big difference. So I really do feel, so I've said all along that this year, that of the three things markets could do, move up a lot, sideways, or down, that the chances of a significant move on the upside really were quite low relative to the scope for sideways to lower trading. And the way things look right now, I think we'd be quite lucky to see the market just continue sideways for the rest of the year. Now, Wall Street's influence on other markets will be enormous, particularly as far as the European markets are concerned. mean, they've always tracked Wall Street very closely, and I don't see any reason whatsoever why they should now suddenly uncouple. Asia could be different. It hasn't been all that different in the past. And certainly, if Wall Street is weak, that will create a major headwind for the Asian stock markets. But I have commented in recent weeks on the fact that the one factor of technical evidence that I felt suggested that maybe Wall Street wasn't going to break down sooner rather than later was the fact that those leading emerging markets in Asia that I watch so closely, I regard them as lead indicators, as you know, that having led on the way down after peaking in January, they had firmed up over the last couple of months or more. Now, that's still the case, but that's pretty tenuous evidence. And my feeling is that if Wall Street were to get a major decline, that it would drag down the emerging markets and pretty well everything else as well. Now, what about Japan? I've said if there's any developed market that I like over the long term, it really is Japan, and that certainly remains the case. But in my view, Japan really is in a major lengthy base extension phase. In other words, we had the great run last year that from that low on the 28th of April in 2003, that was the bottom of the bear market for the Nikkei index, and it then had that terrific move on the upside, topping this year and going into what's a lengthy pullback and base formation extension phase, and that really could last for many, many months. So I take a very cautious to bearish view here on stock markets. I won't revise that view unless I start to see some very positive technical evidence. And there'll be plenty of time to comment on that if we actually see it. I also mentioned that the move on the upside that we had seen on Tuesday and Wednesday that then fell apart on Wall Street on Wednesday. In other words, the market opened strong and then we had that big outside day. It was a body blow to market sentiment. So the chances of a self-feeding decline, despite the short-term oversold condition and prior support levels, is increasing. How to play it? Well, on a very, very long-term basis, the markets that I like most of all are certainly Asian. I like the Asian emerging markets. They're at the top of my list, led by India and Thailand, but you can include them all. They're China, Indonesia, the lot. My favorite developed market for the long term is Japan. It scores on the valuations. I also think because of the supply and elasticity trades that markets such as Russia and a market like Brazil, which produces a lot of commodities, and some of the other South American markets, emerging markets, have potential. But my goodness, they're going to be volatile. And at this stage of the cycle, I wouldn't dream of putting any money in those markets. I would just stand back and watch, because the headwind from these rising interest rates is very, very stiff indeed, or it's going to become very stiff, then it's only just begun. Okay, moving on to government bonds. Now, I maintain that the peak in the secular bull market in government bonds was in June of 2003, and that we are in a top extension phase right now. Now, bonds had fallen quite sharply a few months ago. They're currently in a technical rally phase, a top formation extension phase, and any weakness on Wall Street and other stock markets will lead to a little bit of that flight to quality money into government bonds. But I feel they would be very dangerous purchases at this stage. I would keep any bond market money very much at the short end of the market. And I'm actually looking to sell short, but I'm unlikely to do that before I go away. Incidentally, similarly, I'm resisting the temptation to short stock market futures in here again just before I go away. In terms of the currency markets, we've got quite a brisk dollar rally underway right now, and we're seeing, for instance, against the South African rand, where the dollar broke under that 6 rand level, it failed to maintain that downward break, and it's pushed up with a bit of vigor in the last few days this week. And that adds a little bit more evidence to my contention that this is, against the rand, probably a bottom area, but as I said months ago, it's likely to be a very lengthy bottoming out process if indeed it is a bottom, and the evidence on that is far from conclusive. Against currencies such as the euro, and this is closing in here today at 121.0, we're still trading at 121 exactly, down 157 on the day. This is very much a range bound currency comparison, and I think we're going to see more ranging overall, but my hunch is that we will see the dollar weaken again before the end of the year. And but I do not expect any really big fireworks in the currency markets. If I'm wrong in this contention, and I've always got to examine that side, I'm not showing a hope, I'm not creating the impression that I'm vacillating or trying to hedge or that I have any sort of lack of conviction. Everything I look at suggests that these markets are going to range sideways and that the dollar has a little bit further on the downside, but probably not a great deal. But if I'm wrong, as I say, I need to look at that possibility. Otherwise, I'm not going to have both feet on the ground, am I? The best bull story that I can conjure up for the U.S. dollar is the supply. I beg your pardon. Is the carry trade, and in other words, all those people who had borrowed dollars to buy various different assets. And if we saw higher interest rates causing a further close down of the so-called carry trades in everything in bonds and property, in stock markets, in commodities, if we were to see that wound down, there is a reasonable case to be made for a further dollar rally. That's not the only factor that would influence it, obviously. But at this stage, based on the technical evidence that I can see, while the dollar's firmed in here this week, I don't think this is a significant. I don't think this is a significant trend change. And on the very long-term basis, as I've said before, we tend not to get the big once-a-generation secular moves that we see in bonds and in stock markets, and particularly in commodities. We tend not to see those very long-term moves in the commodity markets. The main reason being that no country can endure a perpetually strong currency. Now, the most interesting area for me still is the supply and elasticity trades. It's a very volatile area. I like the metals most of all, but they're going to be not a volatile, say, way beyond what we tend to see in bond markets and in currencies and in stock markets. These are very thin markets, and the traffic tends to be all one way. They're very momentum driven by the trade, by the that includes the producers and the consumers, and the hedge fund to individual speculator types like myself. They play these very much on a momentum basis. But with all that money sloshing around the natural asset class in terms of benefiting from that is always going to be where there's the least supply available. In other words, there isn't going to be all that much new copper coming on stream, or new lead, or new silver, or new gold coming on stream, relative to the amount of bonds that governments are floating, relative to the amount of equity that is floated every time the stock market gets a decent rally. So, or the amount of currency that can be created by a central bank. So, this remains very much my favorite area. I do believe that we are in the early stages of a major inflation cycle. This will occur in rolling waves, and don't be surprised if we actually see the inflation figures dip a little bit in 2005 and 2006 as GDP growth slows. And as people close down some of those commodity positions, as interest rates move somewhat higher, we could easily see there's a dip in the inflation pressures. But I do maintain that all the credit creation that we have seen and the credit creation that we're likely to see in future almost certainly is going to create an inflationary cycle that will last really for, I would think, probably the next 10 or 15 years or so. So I'm always going to be interested in these metals, particularly after we've seen some decent shakeouts. Soft commodities, much more problematical. They would benefit from the inflation environment overall, but here we do not have the same supply and elasticity problem. Agricultural commodities it can suffer from adverse weather, of course, but the next crop cycle with many of these, they just plant that much more of it. So, and last but not least in the supply and elasticity trades, crude oil. We keep hearing stories about oil coming down to $30 a barrel and relatively soon. And I really do think there's wishful thinking in that forecast. There's nothing that I see in the charts. There's nothing that I see in the overall supply-demand equation that suggests to me that that's likely to happen anytime soon, if it's going to actually happen at all. The demand for petroleum, as everyone knows, from emerging economies is growing at a very, very rapid rate. And even allowing for the possibility of economic slowdown in 2005 and 2006, I don't think it's going to curtail the consumption of that petroleum all that dramatically. And those emerging economies, such as China and India, are probably going to go on growing at above average rate on a global comparative basis. And their demand for petroleum is likely to be growing at 10% per annum or more. And that really is going to, I think, keep prices high really for quite some time. Now, people also say that there's a fear premium in the price of oil. I don't doubt that for a minute, but it's there for very good reasons, and I don't think that those reasons are going to be disappearing anytime soon. Okay, now that's the big picture long-term outlook, but I'll just do a quick romp through how I'm actually playing it at this stage, or how I would play it if I weren't winding down so many positions just prior to be going away. I at this stage would certainly favor playing stock markets on the short side, and I would be using trailing stops in here. I know a number of you are actually doing that because we are testing prior support levels, and on a very short-term basis, stock markets are oversold, so that justifies trailing stops in my view. I have liked the metal stocks, but if Wall Street does sell off, they can fall quite sharply, as we've seen, for instance, with Newmont Mining in the last few days, and a number of others. One of the stock market sectors that I like most of all is the Well, are the energy stocks, and a core long-term holding of mine is the Investec Global Energy Fund. That's the Guernsey-based one that I've mentioned repeatedly. That's the code GUIGLEI, space GU for Guernsey. But that's the Investec Global Energy Fund. But I wouldn't be buying it in here today. I wouldn't be buying anything in the stock market field here today. I would be cashed up. I have my highest cash position in at least 15, 16 months, and that really does feel very comfortable. So I'd say out of equities as much as possible and playing the short side if you wish to do so. Now, I know some investors take an ultra long-term view, and particularly regarding pension funds, and among that group, especially some of the younger investors, if you are putting, for instance, monthly payments into Asian emerging markets, well, then you are pound cost averaging or dollar cost averaging or cost averaging in whatever currency unit you're investing in. And that's a very justifiable strategy for the obvious reason that your money is going to be buying more units of those Asian emerging funds, which I certainly strongly believe in for the long term. And then that can be justified. But if you manage your funds more actively than that, as I say, cash is the best position to be in right now, or at least fully hedged with short positions among institutions. Terms of bonds, I am looking to short, as I've already mentioned. In terms of currencies, there's nothing that stands out that I want to do at this particular stage. In terms of the supply and elasticity trades, the only one that I'm really playing right now still is silver. And that's a very, very volatile market. I'm playing that strictly on the baby steps basis, accumulating on weakness. And given where euro dollar closed today, I'll probably be buying a little bit more on Monday. But I've got fixed orders in the market, bids beneath the market, and sell orders to take profits above the market. And I'm back up to now maybe 25% of the position that I had when silver was down at the $5.50 level a couple of months ago. And natural gas is the only energy position this futures position that I've got that has lagged crude recently to my chagrin, but it had an awfully good day on the upside yesterday and was steady again yesterday. And so if crude does break through this $42 a barrel level, NYME, and as I said earlier, it closed at 41.71, that might well lead to a bit of a spike on the upside, and that would certainly push the natural gas price up as well. Arguably, it should stage a bit of a catch-up move and move up a bit faster. But as I say, we will see. And I think that's pretty much it, folks. Sorry about the length of this audio. Have a splendid weekend. I'll be joining another opera outing.